Be joyful always. You say, how do you do that? Pray continually. Well, some may say, pray continually. I can't even do it for a day. How do you pray continually? Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice it doesn't say for. Say, thank you, Lord. How do you give thanks for all? But in all. In other words, if you're really going to live for God, have a thankful life. Realize all the good that He's done. And don't just close your eyes to the good and say, woe is me about the bad. But I want to begin with that psalm that we began with, Psalm 34, verse 1. Now let me tell you a little about this psalm, how it happened. And then you can go to 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 15 and read it for yourself. What happened is this. David had been anointed as a youth. Remember when Saul was rejected as king? He was the first king. And God told Samuel to go to the house of Yishai, Jesse, and anoint the one that God would tell him as king. And it was David. He was out in the fields keeping the sheep. And there were all these handsome, big, tall, impressive brothers passing before Samuel, and God would say about each one, not him. Not him. But look at this guy. He's just a picture of strength and beauty physically. What about him? No. Nope. And he goes through all these brothers and he says, is there another one? Oh yeah, he's out in the fields. He's keeping the sheep. Never thought that he'd be the one. And the Lord tells him, call him in. And this youth comes in. He was handsome as a youth. And the Lord says, that's the one. And he's just a youth when Samuel anoints him. After that, he becomes a hero. The armies of Israel are petrified at this giant, Goliath in the Hebrew, Goliath. He comes against Israel, and he's like over 9 feet tall, and he's a warrior. He's frightening. And David stands up against him, and with his slingshot and a stone, he lets this stone go, and it goes right into this giant's head. I've often said, nothing like that ever entered his head before. It goes right through into his head, and this huge guy falls, and David is a hero. So the Israeli women sing that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, over the long haul, Saul gets very upset by that statement because he wants to be the big shot. He wants to be thought of as a hero. Well, anyhow, he calls David into his service, and he gets a demon inside of him. He's demon-possessed. And David is in his service, and over the years, it takes years before David even realizes the position for which he was anointed. And in the meantime, Saul is trying to kill him. And he escapes, and at times he goes to the very enemy camp to hide out. David does. And he goes to this place of the Philistines, And there's this king there. In the Psalms it says he's Abimelech. That's really a name for a dynasty. His real name, according to 1 Samuel 21:10-15, is Achish. You know, the guys who play the flutes or whatever, and the snakes go up and down. He's a snake charmer. That's what his name means. Doesn't sound good, does it? But he is the king over this area called the Hebrew Gat. Gath, it's translated. And it happens to be the very hometown of the giant Goliath. And he goes there to hide out. And these men who are the right-hand men of Achish say, isn't this the one that the Israeli women talk about and sing about? Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Guess who the tens of thousands were that he killed? These Philistines. He's right in the enemy camp. So he obviously sends up a quickie to God. What do I do? And for this that he does, he deserved the Academy Award, I'm telling you. He pretends he's insane. He does a great job. Because Achish says, hey, don't we have enough crazy men in our whole area here? We don't need one more. Get rid of him. And you know, he's marking up the walls and letting saliva run down his lip. I mean, he's really playing the part of a fool. And they let him go. And what does he do? He goes back home. This is amazing, because if you had played the part of the fool, any one of us, I'm sure we wouldn't feel like praising the Lord. We would feel so humiliated. That's the thing about David. I mean, he was not Mr. Perfection. We know about David and his committing adultery and killing the husband of the woman with whom he committed adultery, and how it just spread all over Israel. But this hadn't happened yet. But right through his life, at the most critical times, when you would say, I feel like mourning, I feel like crying, I feel like hiding my head, he's praising the Lord. So he goes home and praises the Lord. And he says, I will extol Adonai, the Lord, at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Isn't that amazing? What if we prayed that? God, make us like that. I admit, Gracie has to say, Harold, you better stop complaining and start praising. That sometimes it's really hard to praise at times, especially when things are seem to be going against you. So listen, I'll tell you something. I'm no youngster, as most of you know. And I've been a believer since I was 17. But if I would tell you all the things I need to change in, you would get so burned out listening, you would want to go home. I can understand why it says that now we see, it should read, in a mirror dimly. It's like in the old-fashioned mirrors that were buffed up metal and you just see sort of a distorted image. That's the way we see now. And so when do we become those who see clearly everything? I'm sorry to tell you, I think it's in eternity. It's not here. There's always some place where we have to improve and change and say, God, help me. I'm not like this word says. And here I am, and I'm in the position I'm in now talking to you, not because I've arrived, not because I have it all straight. I'm still learning, and I've been a believer since I was 17. And we see in Scripture that some of the greatest champions of the faith had been believers for some time and stumbled. David is one of them. He looked too long in the wrong place. And boy, did he stumble. And we're like that, aren't we? And he says, I will extol the Lord at all times. We say, Lord, teach me how to do that. Teach me how to get on the positive side of things and not the negative. Teach me how to stop being obsessed with what's wrong and being downcast. In fact, Psalm says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Hope in God. I will again praise Him. The health of my countenance and my God. One man who was a psychiatrist, he was a believer though, he said, did you ever think of this? Our inner being is always talking to us. And we're listening to negative things sometimes that come from our inner being. Why don't we talk back to it? When it says, why are you so downcast? You say, hope in God. I will again praise Him. The health of my countenance and my God. So David said it. I will extol the Lord at all times after this bad experience. His praise will always be on my lips. He wasn't the only one who tried to encourage his people. Nehemiah was the governor when they returned from Babylonian captivity, and they were celebrating for the first time in years Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's the final harvest of the year, everything to be thankful for. And what do? The Jewish people returning from Babylonian captivity. By the way, God let them go through captivity because they were disobedient to Him. That's how we get in trouble. And so they have Ezra stand up and read Torah to them, read the law. And they said, oh, gewalt, we haven't been keeping it. And they start mourning. They're actually crying there, this crowd of Israelis, as their governor stands up and tries to console them. They're brooding over the fact that they're holding up a broken law to God. Well, you know, stop and think about it. How many of us can say, we'll take the scriptures and start putting it up as what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be living. And I would say those of us who are honest would say we have plenty to cry about. When I read this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, I said, boy, we need to think of that, because that is not the normal way we all live. In fact, it takes the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, in you, in me, to change us so that we can do this. We can. God is saying, don't just read this. This is the way you're to live, to glorify me. And so Nehemiah gets up before them and he tries to persuade them. Stop crying. Do not grieve, he says. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Think about the people in need around you and reach out to them. This day is sacred to Adonai, the Lord. Do not grieve, for, listen to this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Ezra had read the Torah and they're hooked on how down they are, how miserable they failed. And Nehemiah tries to turn things around. He says, stop crying. Start rejoicing. You have God to forgive you. And you have God to prepare you and to give you vitamins spiritually, all that you need, anytime you need it. There is nobody who is a child of His that has to sulk all the time. You know, when you sulk, and we know people who sulk all the time, and their health is so bad, and eventually you're dragged down so that all you can do is think of misery. And not only are you miserable, people are miserable to be around you. I mean, that's how I got that way for 7 years. I got tired of hearing myself. And Nehemiah says, hey, do you really want strength spiritually and otherwise, physically? When you grieve, you pull yourself down. Don't grieve. Open your heart to the Ruach HaKodesh, to the Holy Spirit, because it says, the fruit of the Spirit is, what is the first thing it mentions?
Love.
But it's love manifested as joy. You say, but look at what's happening worldwide. Yeah? It's sort of lousy when you listen to the news, but listen. What does it say in Titus is a blessed hope? It doesn't say North Korea is a blessed hope. It doesn't even say the United States is. It says the coming of Yeshua and God setting up His kingdom is the blessed hope. This world doesn't offer the blessed hope, but God does every day, every moment. To those who will open their hearts to Him, He offers the blessed hope. And it's the glorious appearing of Yeshua, and it can start now by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, coming into our hearts, transforming us. He can transform us. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord, that's what gives you strength. So now we go to the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant. And Rabbi Shaul, who was on the warpath killing believers and putting them into jail, he has this vision, this appearance of Yeshua. It's called an epiphany on the road to Damascus. And it totally transforms him. Now, instead of killing these people, he's the chief theologian. And he's written so many books that are in Berit Chadashah, the New Covenant. And he gives these instructions to the believers. There's a subtitle, Final Instructions, here for the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 24. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. You know, I have seen too many times when people who profess to be believers are offended over one thing and they say, I'm leaving. Well, you know what happens when the head of a home says that about his family? I'm leaving. You know what it's called? Desertion. The Lord hates desertion. And he tells us to live at peace with one another. And he tells us to do what Yeshua came to earth to do for us. Forgive. And the Holy Spirit would give us the power to do that when it seems impossible. I know when we're offended and someone does nasty things to us, it's so hard to forgive. But God alone can help us. And so he says, make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Don't do the same thing to them that they're doing to you. In fact, the New Testament says, repay evil with good. Just think what they did to Yeshua. The horrible suffering they put him through. But God turned that around so that that suffering became our means of deliverance. And now he sends us out and he says, you're going to see all sorts of terrible things in the world. His disciples did. But don't repay that with anger and frustration and evil and hatred. Be joyful always. Always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Instead of getting into an argument, instead of trying to think, how can we pay back this person who's been so mean to us? Lord, how can I repay the evil with the good you would have me to give to these people? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Lord, I know this looks threatening, but I know that you can lift me and those I'm concerned about above all of this trial. Above everything here that's so negative, you can give me the strength to rise above it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. Lord, help me do this, because this in the natural is not easy to do, to give thanks. We usually want to complain and feel sorry for ourselves. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. The Spirit is at work in all of those who have been immersed into Jesus and risen to a new life. But what we can do, if we do the opposite from what God says here, the fire in us spiritually, and this is a positive fire that gives us the impetus to go and spread the good news. When we do the opposite from what God says, we put out this fire. We're supposed to be an example of those who love the Lord and because of that love those around us. So he says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. In other words, this is God's word. Prophecies are words inspired by God. Don't treat it with contempt. Test everything. You can tell by the word and by the spirit whether this thing that's tempting you is really of God or of Satan. You can tell from what the word says what's right and wrong. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. When those thoughts come to you that are wrong, and you know they're wrong, that's what happened to David. To that one thing that it talks about when he looked on Bathsheba, and he kept looking until he gave in to his lust, and his whole family suffered. When we do the opposite from what God says, not only will we suffer, we will cause the people around us to suffer, and even those we love. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. That thought is wrong, Lord, with your help, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you to help me to avoid doing what Satan is trying to trip me up with. May God himself, the God of peace, he's not the God of conflict. If you've got a war going on inside of you, that's not God. Satan causes that. Avoid every kind of evil. Turn away from it. Say, with God's help, I'm not going to give in to that. And the Lord will give you the strength to do it. May God himself, the God of peace, see, he brings peace, not war inside, sanctify you through and through. That means set you apart to God. May God set me and each of you apart to himself so that we're living by the positive influence of the Holy Spirit. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Just think, each of us is going to stand in eternity before the Lord and give an account for everything that we do here in this body. And it's not as though we can tell him, wait, you have it all wrong. He's the only one who has it all right. And he knows everything. And listen, it's here, what we're doing now in this body, that's going to determine whether he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Or he's going to say to some who are going to say, Lord, Lord. By the way, they call themselves Christians, probably. They could even call themselves Jewish. Lord, Lord. They call him Lord. Have we not prophesied in your name? We spoke the word of God. We did miracles. We cast out demons. Look at all the good we've done. And shockingly, you know what he says? I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. And I would like to present one thought to you about that. The fact that they called him Lord, Lord, and said we did all these religious things, means that they identified themselves with religion. But religion is different from righteousness. And you know why we all need Jesus so much? We've all done our share of unrighteousness. And we desperately, every one of you, of us, we desperately need the Lord and His Spirit to enable us to walk in righteousness. Do we not? If we're honest, we'll say that. Lord, all those, you know, who was transformed? Does anyone remember? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, listen, there aren't too many Enochs on the world. I'm not one of them. And I know I need the Lord. I've been married 62 years, and I have lost count of how many times I've had to say to Gracie, I was wrong, please forgive me. That's what we are. We're needy people, every one of us. And we need Yeshua, every one of us, because He's the only one who can help us to walk above these weaknesses that are ours as part of a fallen race. And He loves each of us. He isn't here to condemn us to hell. He's here to save us. And we're told to do one thing, call upon Him. And He says, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. That's what He's all about. His name is Yeshua. In Hebrew, salvation means deliverance. Deliverance for what? Deliverance from sin. But deliverance in whatever situation we're in that needs deliverance. I want you to remember Psalm 50, verse 15. This is a word for all of us, where God talks to His human race. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. How many of us have never had a day of trouble? There's not one of them. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. When you get in a tight spot, think of that. That's God talking. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for Yeshua, whose name means salvation, deliverance. And we call upon you right now, Lord. It's only with your help that we can be joyful always, that we can pray continually, that we can give thanks in every circumstance, Lord, because we know you're there with us to help us through. And Lord, we dedicate our lives afresh to you. Enable us to live a life that is such that when we're in your presence, we hear you're well done. Bless each person here and each family represented. And may we see in these last days salvation, deliverance on the right hand and on the left. In Yeshua's name, amen.